Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good glorious morning to you all on this new episode of No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into BS. They are bait and switch or anything else, any other definition you want to give BS. I refuse to live my life BSing my way around, trying to manipulate people to think like I think or agree with me on everything, but I'm alive to love. I will not let go of the highest value in human experience, human history, and in human destiny. That highest value is love. I don't think there's an argument to be made that could convince me that love isn't the high value of human existence. I believe every time we argue against it, we betray how little we know about love. And that's why I'm here with the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. I'm convinced that I have a long way to go. A long way to go in my journey on this earth to discover all the beauty and significance of love. I think that if I spend every day of my remaining years on this planet researching, thinking, praying, meditating, looking into, studying, practicing love, I shall on the last day of my life, I shall still fall short of all the beauty, all the magnificence, all the significance of love. So I'm asking you to join me on a journey of love, to see yourself as a pilgrim, as a journeyman, journeywoman, on a path of love, climbing the mountain of love, swimming the ocean of love, sailing the wide seven seas of love, seeing to it that love is your goal, it's your fixation, it's your true north. Does that make sense? I've always said that whenever I bring up the subject of love, people are often quick to remark to me, if they've known me any time at all, they'll say, wait, but you were unloving once. So I've learned to just smile and say, boy, you got me right there. I'm absolutely guilty as charged. I've been an unloving human being in episodes and seasons of my life, but here's where I'm at today. I refuse to live some kind of perfectionistic value about love, but I also refuse to give up a journey, to give up the exploration. And so I tell people I'm a pilgrim on a path of love. To that end, I have written a love's creed. This is my love's creed. Listen to this carefully. I am alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's my love's creed, and I want to offer that to you every time we gather here, and I want you to join me in as we would in church, repeating the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed. I want you to join me in that. Let me give it to you in small doses. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Hopefully you can take notes on that. Make note of it for yourself. But if you don't and you can't follow me fast enough to get it all written down, that's okay. Send us a message. You know, listen to the close of the broadcast. My wife will give you contact information, how to reach us at randydeanministries@gmail.com. You can send us an email, and we'll send you a copy of I'm Alive to Love, the Love's Creed, and we'll just generously, happily give it to you as free of charge. Just let us know you'd like it, and we'll send it to you. So today I want to continue on where I was last week on definitions of love. Definitions of love are, they exceed all human efforts, really. Just like just as I started this whole broadcast today, it is far and away more than we'll ever reach in a lifetime. It's going to take all of our life exploring it, much less having a pat definition. And I don't think there is such a thing as a pat definition, but I do think there are ways of expressing it, ways of surrounding it, giving it a circumference and saying, you know, everything within this circumference, that's love. This is how love looks. This is how love acts. That love is something. Love says something. Love creates something. Love is never an isolated, it's never an isolated value. It's always on the move. As such, everybody should have some sort of definition of love that helps you grasp with your journey. If we can't define it on some level, then we're probably not entirely sure what our journey is all about. That's why I give the Love's Creed. I'll repeat that before we leave again today. But the Love's Creed is a little bit of that. It's certainly not all-encompassing. But I'm a big fan of an author by the name of Brené Brown. I'm sure many of you listening today know that name, Brené Brown. She's a research professor at the University of Houston, and she holds the Huffington Foundation Endowed Chair at the Graduate School of Social Work. She's also a visiting professor in management at the University of Texas at Austin, McCombs School of Business. You know, Brené Brown started off just as a researcher. Just cold stone research was her game. It was her whole business, just to be a good statistician, a researcher. But when she got into her research, she discovered that vulnerability, as a matter of research, vulnerability was a missing component in her own life. And not only a missing component, but a great and wonderful leap of faith for her to make to become a more vulnerable and accessible human being. To that end, she has written some fabulous books. I don't have time right now to go through them. But if you just looked up online, Brené Brown, some of her bestsellers are The Gifts of Imperfection, Daring Greatly, and there are so many others. Dare to Lead's another one. But Brené Brown wrote a book recently. It's a summation, I think, of all of her works, but it's also some more research that she's done into the subjects and the subject of our emotions. And in this book, on the chapter on love, she offers what she says is her best definition of love. I really want to center on that today, but I want to read her preface to this definition. Here it is. It's always a risk to define a term like love. I personally think it might be best left to poets, artists, and rock songwriters. Isn't that good? However, a definition has emerged from our research, and it's withstood the test of new data. And now here's her definition of love. We cultivate love when we allow our most vulnerable and powerful selves to be deeply seen and known, and when we honor the spiritual connection that grows from that offering with trust, respect, kindness, and affection. Love is not something we give or get. It is something we nurture and grow. A connection that can be cultivated between two people only when it exists within each one of them. We can love others only as much as we love ourselves. Shame, blame, disrespect, betrayal, and the withholding of affection damage the roots from which love grows. Love can survive these injuries only if they're acknowledged, healed, and rare. That's incredibly deep. There's a lot to unpack there, and I want to spend this broadcast talking about that. We cultivate love when we allow our most vulnerable and powerful selves to be deeply seen and known, and when we honor the spiritual connection. I'm gonna hold on to that real tight right with you today. When we honor the spiritual connection that grows from that offering. You know, I do believe the church as a whole. Now, this isn't any one church. It's and it may be a little bit of a stretch to say the church in the big mass of all churches. And I'm going to risk a little bit here talking about it this way. But I don't know how else to say it in the short amount of time I have with you in 30 minutes. But so I'm just going to use the church as an amalgamation of Christian folks in America. I believe the church has done a very poor job of giving people an example of love showing consistently. I know there are exceptions, and I know your church or other churches you may be aware of have done a good job, but in the total, in the mass, in what the church is really known for in the big wide world, we've done a poor job of displaying, demonstrating, modeling, and then defining and giving people the pilgrimage, as what we're doing here with Alive to Love, a pilgrimage of love. We've given a lot of doctrines. We've given a lot of theology. We've taught people how to support the church program. We've taught people how to give in the offerings. We've taught people a lot of other things. But we haven't just taken a deep dive as a whole. Now, remember what I said. I'm not accusing every church of this. I'm just saying in total, as a summary, especially in my lifetime of 68 years, in summary, I think the church in America has done a poor job of defining, demonstrating, and showing the wide world what love is. And why is that so important? Well, Brené Brown just said here, it's being able to honor the spiritual connection that grows from the offering of love. Love is and requires a spiritual connection of some kind. But beyond that, somebody greater than Brené Brown said, and by the way, that somebody is Jesus Christ, said, "By this all men and women will know that you are my disciples," speaking of his followers at the time. They'll all know, the world will know, you are my disciples indeed, if you have love for one another. If you have love. In fact, one time he said, "I got one commandment for you." You know, they were used to having their mentors and their professors, their teachers, their rabbis come down with some kind of list of what should be done and not done. And Jesus said, "I got one. I got one law. I got one command. I'm not going to give you 20. I'm not going to give you 10. I'm not Moses coming down with tablets. I'm Jesus, and you won't even have to take notes on this, really." In fact, the only notes we have on it are the Gospels, right? But he said, "You won't need a tablet to remember this one on." He said, "I have one commandment for you. Love." That's it. Love. Somebody once said, "You can love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and then do whatever you want." That's the encompassing beauty of it. It's all encompassing. The circumference of love takes in every other action, takes in every other thought. You and I are not capable of living our lives in some kind of perfect orb. I'm not. I'm pretty sure people listening to me right now, you're not perfect. So I am convinced that if we'll just make one thing our goal, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. You see, that is the circumference of all other laws, all other pursuits. So what Brené points out here, which I think bears a lot of attention, is that this is a spiritual connection. This requires some kind of spiritual life. I'm not here to tell you that you have to join my church or somebody else's church or to believe in some sort of set of doctrines. That's not at all what I'm here for. I'll let others take care of that. I'll let other people run those lists down. My purpose here is to tell you there's one spiritual value that radically encompasses all the rest of the spiritual values, and in fact requires a spiritual value in order to live it, and that is love. When there is a spiritual connection in our life, when we understand, Albert Einstein said one time, either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. And Albert Einstein was no theologian. He was not even in any way, shape, matter, or form a very well-known man of faith. In fact, he had his arguments with people of faith. But I would propose he had his arguments with people of faith because the people of faith he knew were not people of love. You see, love is the proof text. Love is that which keeps us grounded in honest spirituality. So what Einstein said is absolutely true. Either everything's a miracle or nothing's a miracle, because he had researched the theory of relativity. He had looked into the galaxies and into the universe, and he saw time itself extending into infinity, recognizing that here we are riding on this little marble, running around the sun, and then our solar system running around the Milky Way, and then the Milky Way running around a whole other few galaxies, and then all these galaxies are running around multiplied billions of galaxies, and then all of that is just the known universe, but what's beyond what we see is even more expansive than anything we've ever seen. And he said, if there's no miracle there, then boy, there is no such thing as a miracle. Right now, at this very moment, as I sit here recording this, I'm traveling at 66,000 miles per hour. Yeah, that's how fast the Earth is orbiting. Revolving. We're revolving at 66,000 miles per hour. That's just astonishing, which doesn't include the rate of speed as we orbit the Earth, the sun. So when we recognize that spirituality is the miracle upon which we base our life, then in that spirituality, we're looking for an anchor, aren't we? What's the anchor? Well, sometimes I think my faith is an anchor, but my faith is up and down and all around. But I believe faith born in love will keep me pursuing faith, because love is that which draws me into a spirituality beyond myself. I'm a deeply spiritual guy. I'm a deeply spiritual human being. I think for all of my life I have been clumsily for many years, and I'm probably still clumsy in some levels. I have no argument with anybody who would suggest otherwise. But my spirituality has found a greater launching pad, a greater place to stand and to leap, when I've decided that I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. And when I recognize that love is my pilgrimage, well, then I need strong spiritual connections. And then I need to understand what it says in the Bible when it says God is love. And love is God. He who dwells in love dwells in God, and God dwells in him. Wow. That's 1 John 4. That's astonishing, isn't it? Love is God. God is love. Well, right there it says all you need to know about spirituality. So for me, as a lifelong spiritual person, you know, even as a kid, I had some idea that, you know, someday I think I'll be a preacher. I don't know why. People would ask me, what are you going to do when you grow up? There were moments in time I said, well, I'm going to be a truck driver. Well, then when I was 12, I took a long trip for a couple of weeks with my dad and his truck. And I came home and said, nope, I don't want to be a truck driver. That's too much for me. I'm not that guy. But somewhere down inside of me, I always felt some calling. And I didn't know who was calling me or how I was being called. I just knew I was being called. I was being drawn inextricably toward this goal of being a preacher. And then when I discovered love, and you've heard my story here before, I won't repeat it today. When I discovered love, or rather I should say when love discovered me, when love found me sitting in my bedroom as a lonely kid, self-destructive and imploding, love genuinely grabbed me by both hands, stood me up, shook out all the negativity, and at least for that moment, and gave me a root spiritually to rise and shine. You know, Mom and Dad used to say, rise and shine, sunshine. Well, I got to tell you, my rise and shine came when love lifted me. I'm encouraging you who are listening today to take a leap into spirituality and make your spirituality love. Dive into the deep end. You know, I've heard people say, that's you're going off in the deep end. I want you to hear me say, I'd rather dive in the deep end than the shallow end. If you dive into the shallow end, you're going to hit your head on the bottom. You're going to break your neck. You're going to bust your skull open. But at least in the dive to the deep end, you're going to have to flail around and make your way back up for air. So there's something to be said about learning how to swim when you're flailing for your life. Dive into the deep end of love. Take a deep dive into love. Explore love. Think about, meditate, pray about love. Actually, you know, I would be so bold as to say here that even if you don't believe in God, I believe you believe in love. If you have no God faith or trust in your makeup, I think you believe in love. I don't know anybody really that wouldn't accept or acknowledge that love is a truth. Love is a human experience. So if you believe in love, then you believe in God at some level. And that love, if that's all you believe in, then hold tight to that. Ask love to explain the world around you, the universe around you. Ask love for its expression. Speak to yourself in a loving, kind way. You know, Brene Brown said to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, and there again, Brene Brown, this remarkable, brilliant, well-educated scholar, she's quoting Jesus to love your neighbor as yourself. Actually, she's quoting the Old Testament too, to know that there is no greater spiritual pursuit than love. See, I've had the privilege. I've been in so many wonderful spiritual environments. Many years ago, my wife and I were a part of a cathedral down in Georgia, and oh my goodness, we had such lovely times. It was dominantly an African American cathedral and church, and their choir of over 100 voices were spectacular. I'll never forget some of their most beautiful presentations as a choir. They had such skill, such beauty to them. But more than all of that, they had such a wonderful, wild spirituality. They would break into dance, and there was a lady that would, she'd grab a tambourine, and let me tell you, she would bang that tambourine for all she was worth, and it was everything in me wanted to run up on stage and join her. That's what I'm talking about. We had that lovely experience for many, many years. We made it kind of an annual pilgrimage to go to that beautiful cathedral in Georgia, and it became for us an ongoing spiritual experience. But let me tell you something. No matter how great the choir, no matter how wonderful the speakers, no matter how impressive the understanding and the revelation that came from that place to our hearts, the understanding of the scriptures and of God, I'll tell you one thing arrested us and held us for so, so long, and it does even to this day on some level, and that was the love we discovered. There was love there. We forged relationships, my goodness, back starting in 1986 that still exist to this day. And yeah, they're not as extensive or as vibrant as they once were, because that place is long ago since I'm talking about here, they've long ago ceased to exist, if you can believe that, but they did. But that's the nature of some human enterprises that don't really get it, that, wow, love really is our root. Love is our foundation. I think at some point they lost love. You know, and there's a scripture in Book of Revelation where Jesus says to a church, you've lost your first love. You've lost your first love. Therefore, your candlestick is being removed. There's so much to be said about that. Now, all of that is to say, my wife and I, we've had the privilege of having so many wonderful spiritual experiences, and we still do. But they have all come down to one thing, or the lack of one thing, and that is love. Spirituality for us has been born somewhere, somehow, in the experience of love. So to that, I would say you can either go to a raucous, beautiful, dynamic, 100-voice choir and listen to the ringing tones and the choruses being just shouted through the roof, or you can go out in the woods, or you can go by a lakeshore or by the ocean or see a mountain or rest your soul just in some repose of meditation, and you will find a spiritual experience. So today, I'm inviting you to a spiritual experience. And here's how you can stand in that experience. And here's my creed again, love's creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. That's Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of that, send us an email, randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we'll send a copy to you. So I'm going to close today with a little bit of a spiritual experience. All right, here we go. On the count of three, I want you to have the spiritual experience of calm, peaceful breathing. On the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can and hold that breath all the way down in your diaphragm. And know that breathing is about as close to being a spiritual person in the simplest form as you can find, because Jesus said the spirit is air, like the air that blows across your face. One, two, three. Breathe in. hold it, and exhale. You should do that 5 minutes every day at least. Put your feet flat on the ground and hold your head straight up and breathe as deep as you know how for 5 minutes. Calm your soul. Give your spirit time to encounter the sacred. And if you really want to encounter sacred, let me give you our second exercise we close with every week, and that is look somebody in the eye and say the most wildly beautiful, magical words in the human language. I love you. Yes, I know. It gets awkward. Yes, I know. It's weird. Some people just cannot do it. They will look all over the room while you're looking them, trying to look them in the eye, but you can't catch their eye, but that's okay. At least you're giving yourself a moment for a spiritual experience. And I promise you, even if somebody receiving it was a little uncomfortable, they're going to have a spiritual experience at some point because they can't forget those three words. I love you. Well, thanks for being here again today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS, and I refuse to live my life in the zone of BS. I am going to rise to the stratosphere, climb the mountain of love, and I'm inviting you to join me week in and week out on these episodes of the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because, oh baby, ugly has been done to death. God bless you and happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.